This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Cypress Trail Hideout. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Welcome back in, Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5, broadcasting live, Cypress Trail Hideout, home of Papa Charlie's Barbecue. Terrific food. Will House will be here until 7. Cody Stutes is here early because he's trying to defend his title. But come on by, 25610 Hempstead Road in Cypress. Happy hour from 2 to 6. So happy hour just started, we can tell. And it's not a weak, soft happy hour. 4 hours of it. Daily drink specials and also some live music tonight on the patio. Every Friday and Saturday night here at Cypress Trail Hideout, that live music. Bronco Jr. will be here later and then Hit and Run the band tomorrow. All right, Cody Stutes in the house. He'll be here again with the Wheelhouse 3 to 7. But he's here early, 2 o'clock, to defend his Who Said It championship. One of the greatest Who Said It champions of all time. But anybody can win the title. Not everybody can defend the title.
Yep.
Cody, how are you feeling?
Why is he fluffing?
He's trying to gas me up.
Oh. It's called selling a fight.
And think that I would make a mistake. Look, gentlemen, there's a famous story of Ric Flair defending the NWA World Heavyweight Championship on a Monday in Japan and being in Greensboro, North Carolina to defend it again on a Wednesday. Yeah. I'm a traveling champ. I'll go wherever I need to go to defend this championship.
There you go. So he's selling the fight.
Boy.
He's selling the fight. That's how it's done.
Right.
Very good. Who's the heel and who's the face here?
Well, everybody loves me. I'm the champ. So,
son of a plumber.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody loves you.
Everybody loves me. Everybody loves the champion.
All right, so Cody has the championship advantage. So that means he gets to go first in our five rounds. If you're not listening to Who Said It, we hear Brendan say quotes from other personalities on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5, and then we have to guess who said it. Whoever has the most rounds won is the champion. I haven't listened a whole lot to the station because I haven't been in my car a whole lot this week. But let's get it started, Brendan Riley. What's number one?
Quote number one, you can pierce anything, your nipples, your belly button, the side of your nose, but don't get a big ring in the middle of your nose like a bull.
Ooh, okay. Okay, and I go first here.
Yeah, you have championship advantage, so you get to go first.
This very much feels like a discussion that Vanessa and Gallant would have had. And with this Vanessa and Gallant discussion, this definitely strikes me as something that Paul Gallant would not be a fan of. That feels like something Paul Gallant would rant on. I'm going Paul Gallant said this.
You don't think Paul would get piercings?
No, I'm not saying Paul wouldn't get piercings. Heck, Paul may have it all pierced for all I know. I don't know. But I'm saying Paul's not a fan.
Out?
I don't want to find out either. Paul's not a fan of the piercings.
You know who would know? Brendan Riley would know.
Okay.
Brendan knows everything.
Right. Can I get Paul it again, please? Can I hear it again?
You can pierce anything. Your nipples, your belly button, the side of your nose. But don't get a big ring in the middle of your nose like a bull.
Okay.
I have a theory here. You're already locked in, right?
I'm locked in.
Yeah. I have a theory here.
Okay.
Paul's been missing some time. So I would
not this week, though, right?
Okay.
But here's the thing. Do you know that for sure the quotes have been pulled from this exact week?
I thought it had to be this week, yeah.
But I would be
sometimes
okay.
I grabbed them from the week before. So.
We just ruined the integrity of Who Said It.
I'm going to lean Vanessa.
Okay, so same show. So it's along the Stutes theory. So we're stealing the Stutes theory here, which is always terrifying. I'll go with that.
Now, here's the thing. This is also definitely something that the bench could end up talking about, but it just feels like with the veracity, it feels like it was a Vanessa and Gallant discussion, and so we're each on opposite sides here.
Yeah, we'll go Vanessa. What we got, Brendan?
Because here's the thing. You can pierce anything. Pierce your nipples. Pierce your belly button. Pierce the side of your nose like I did in high school, but I didn't get a big thing like a ring like a bull in the middle of it.
I wonder who they thought of whenever they saw the bull, the ring in the bull, or the ring in the nose like a bull.
It was man, actually based off of Aaron Rodgers. It was
so it was like terrible things you can do to your body.
Man, it's wild that the officials, you know, working against me here. What she said and what Brendan gave is the quote, not exactly the same.
Cody, I'm working off the context from the
Listen
whole conversation.
I'm just saying.
Look, he just turned heel.
I'm
He's
just saying.
To complain about
is he already
officiating.
Preparing to lose, Jeremy?
Yeah, listen
I'm
to this.
Just saying.
He's trying to have an excuse. All right, let's move along to question number two because I'm not going to listen to this hogwash.
I heard that segment live. I want you to know, Cody, not only were you wrong, Paul likes those. Number two.
Okay.
Wow.
Maybe too much information.
Cody's gonna give it get complain about me. I'm gonna let him know how wrong he was.
Fair. I like that.
Number two.
I like that from a good referee.
For midterms, if I got some ramen noodles at the voting location, I'll go.
This is one of the more unique quotes to ever make it.
You need ramen noodles to go vote in the midterm? I mean, what about our civic duty as citizens of this very fine country?
For midterms.
So BK's not eligible, right?
If I got some ramen noodles at the voting
BK
location.
BK and ramen noodles sound like a slam dunk to me.
Yeah, BK's not eligible. What are you feeling this way?
Man, I don't think it's the old schoolers.
You know who it could be? I don't know. I want Cody to steal my ideas.
I hear
here.
You. So
it's not going to be our show. It's not going to be their show.
Right. And I don't think it's going to be. I don't think it's the old schoolers on the bench.
Right. But is it an old schooler somewhere else?
Right. Okay. Yeah. And I know you're.
Is
going.
That where you're going? I mean, does he go by initials sometimes? I mean, we're not fooling anybody here.
I think it might. This one. I actually think this one might be Paul.
Okay. Let's go with it. Let's go with Paul.
No. Do you feel more confident that way or the one you were thinking?
I am terrible at this game, and I've never felt less confidence than I feel today.
So if you think about it, the other one is a very big food connoisseur.
Yeah, that's fine. Let's go your way.
Okay.
Let's go with the marvelous Paul Gallant.
We'll go Paul Gallant.
Paul Gallant was going to be my answer, and then I got to thinking about it.
We took it. That's why.
He's too much of a cake eater to eat ramen. He would never recommend that he needed ramen to go do this.
Oh, that's a good point.
So who's somebody that would have eaten ramen? I don't know that Granato even knows what ramen is. That would offend him.
Yeah, it would.
All right. I don't feel like that's an LZ thing. This feels like this is Patrick Creighton. This is something that Patrick Creighton might have said, and I feel like Patrick Creighton might have talked a little bit about some sort of voting or election or something.
Oh, good call.
I'm going to go PC here.
Man, that was my hunch.
For midterms, if I got some ramen noodles at the
polling
location.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Yeah, I mean, at the location, I'll go.
Okay, that's good. Playing defense with a 1-0 lead.
Lance
that's fine.
Sirlein.
I didn't see that coming at all.
Wow.
Especially with all the foo-foo chefs he knows and where he goes to eat. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, but he doesn't turn down a good time. You know what I mean? He doesn't turn down a good time.
Yeah, that's a great point about the foo-foo chefs,
right?
That's a great point.
But it's ramen at a midterm. He's not going to turn down a good time. Don't threaten Lance Sirlein with a good time. He's going to do a good time.
Maybe they were talking about fancy ramen, you know, like very expensive.
Oh,
ramen.
You're probably right.
Lobster ramen.
Yeah, something like that.
I got you.
All right, 1-0 Killer Bees. This is good. Let's go on to round three where Stoots has first choice here.
Number three, who even remembers Elvis? He's like a mythical figure.
Who even remembers Elvis? He's like a mythical figure.
This can't be the Killer Bees. I think Blank said that the other day when I went to watch the movie.
Not true. I remembered him. I just wouldn't have wasted my time on the movie.
Okay, this again, I'm going with Paul Gallant, and here's why. This feels like something that Paul would not have been exposed to very often, and by not being exposed to it very often, he would just act like Elvis wasn't a big thing.
See, that's a good call. I like your theory here.
I think I heard this discussion. I'm not completely sure, but I think it could be his partner.
Vanessa again?
Yeah.
Brendan's been known to trick us with double repeat offenders of who said it.
So otherwise, I think Cody's on the right path.
Yeah, I think the Cody theory, again, dangerous to go down that path, but I think he might be down the right path again. Let's go Vanessa then.
Who even remembers Elvis?
Wow.
50 and older?
Yeah,
I don't remember Elvis.
It would have to be that.
I mean, he's like a mythical figure.
Wow.
I don't think it's a terrible take, actually. I don't think it's a terrible take. I have a newfound fascination for Elvis because I watched the movie. But
sure did.
He
passed on Top Gun for the Elvis movie, Cody. Would you do that?
Top Gun is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. Whatever. We're up to nothing in who said it, so I don't care about y'all's opinion of my movie takes. All right, you're right. It's not over. We got one. Our magic number is one.
Yeah, you get one more, or I don't get this one.
Yeah, magic number.
You guys are going to be the champions again.
That's what magic number one means, Cody.
I know. I'm just laying it out for the folks.
Why not?
Okay. All right.
Number four.
It's our pick, right? Yeah.
Correct. My mom wanted me to be a teacher. I wanted to fly fighter jets.
That sounds like a.
Oh, jeez.
What do you think? Do you have a good feeling here?
Not a good feeling, but I have a feeling.
Which way are you leaning? You talking about the guy at the end of the day?
Uh-huh.
See, I could see him saying something like
that. I could,
too. So would,
Okay.
All right. Yeah, we'll go. Let's go with that. Let's go with Patrick Crayton.
Ah, see, that was going to be my answer. This feels like something. I feel like at different times in his life, Patrick Creighton's wanted to do anything and everything.
Could not agree more. That's true. The macho-ness level in his head said that exact thing.
Now, I'm wondering.
Did you just put ketchup on that baked potato?
I always do.
I'm wondering if there's maybe a chance. Well, that's going to be a topic on the Wheelhouse today.
Love it.
I'm wondering if there's maybe a chance that a discussion about Top Gun came up on the bench. And this is just so random or something that maybe Granado would have ended up. I'm trying to work through the ketchup on the baked potato. Yeah,
I've lost my every train of thought.
It's like this is working, Louis. There's
it's
more.
Like the fans started throwing things in the ring here, okay? I think it was PC. I think it was Patrick Creighton that said it. I'm going to say John Granado just on a whim that maybe Granado said something wild like that.
My mom wanted me to be a teacher.
And yeah!
I wanted to fly fighter jets.
I don't think you guys have gotten three since we started doing you guys together on a team.
Like we were saying, there's great champions in Who Said It history, but to be an all-time great, to be on the Mount Rushmore of the Who Said It champions of all time, you got to be able to defend the belt. If you've never defended the belt, I mean, what have you done as a champion? You've done nothing as a champion. Let's do number five for fun.
Finally, number five, he's French. Let's be honest. The French don't get along. I'm sorry, the French don't gel. With other people.
Granado.
Ooh. See, that sounds like a Paul one to me.
I think
like
so, Paul, too.
Paul's got a really good grasp of history. And I feel like he has historic references quite a bit.
I feel like he's also fond of the French sometimes, though.
You talking about Paul?
Yeah.
He likes weak.
The food or the kisses?
Just lots of French culture. Okay. Feels
Granado's a good guess, too, though.
I think Granado
travels over there.
We're a couple of weeks removed from – never mind. You know what? Never mind.
What,
I don't need to be
said. A couple weeks removed from what?
Just, you know, John was confused about exactly who drives in the Japanese F1 race.
And that's right.
Or IndyCar race. And he was like, well, it kind of would be easy to win if – you know. And I was like, okay, that's not
– Well, what did he say? He thought that the – what's her name?
Danica Patrick.
He thought that she drove an F1, right?
Yeah, I think it was IndyCar, and he was like, well, if – never mind. We don't need to reset it. I think it was Granado that said it.
All right, he got Granado. We got Paul. What is it, Brendan?
Also, he's French, so let's be honest. Yeah. The French don't exactly gel with other people.
That's domination.
That's a skunk.
Has there ever been a 4-0 victory in Who Said It history?
Yeah, I've shut you out before, but yeah.
But I'm saying 4-0.
Oh.
Because I have been shut out many times. It's amazing that this is the best I've ever done.
That is an awesome skunk right there.
4-0.
Where's Rick Flair now?
Yeah, to be the man, you got to beat the man. Woo! And we just beat the man badly.
Yeah, you did.
Badly.
When Brendan sabotages the beginning, it threw me off my game.
Go eat crow.
The
good thing is they make great crow here at Papa Charlie's
Barbecue. Try it with ketchup.
If you guys needed the referee's help, you should have just told
me. 4-0.
I wouldn't even have shown up.
Let's not act like it was a quick count.
Yeah, you could have.
We just beat you 4-0.
You could have filmed the shoot around and had deflated balls, and you still wouldn't have beat us.
All right, Jabari Smith. First time we saw him in a Rockets uniform yesterday. Some thoughts with that? It's Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. I love the people at Fitz Roofing, and you will too, because they take care of you every step of the way. Yes, their name says roofing, and they do that better than anybody else. From the best product in the business, CertainTeed shingles, to the basic ways that they have the best warranties, they do the best service, they have the best ratings, and the fact that they do free, no-obligation inspections. They come to you to tell you what they can do. It costs you absolutely nothing. But the other thing is, people don't realize they do so much more. They do home repairs. They could put a fence in your yard. They do so many different things and have so many different services, and it all includes that free no-obligation inspection. Go to their website, FITZRoofing.com, and then when you see that there's something that you need their services for, call them, 832-521-3001. They'll come to you to tell you what they can do. It costs you absolutely nothing, but if you want them to come back, you book the appointment, and before, during, and after the sale, nobody does it better, and I mean it. Check them out today, FITZRoofing.com, or get that free no-obligation inspection, 832-521-3001. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
Live from Cypress Trail Hideout for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, this is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Between bites of this brisket, outstanding. Very, very good at Cypress Trail Hideout. Blankers is in
Oh my God.
Between bites of his baked potato with ketchup on it.
Yep. Loving every minute of it.
But he likes it. But he likes it. So that's all that matters.
That's right.
And we're celebrating a Who Said It championship.
Just a freaking ass whooping.
It really was. It was a really thumping. Satisfying win for the Killer Bees to get the title back on our shoulders. Jabari Smith, first time we've seen him in a Rockets uniform in an organized game. Summer League action yesterday against the first overall pick, Paolo Banchero. You know, I thought Banchero and Smith would be the matchup here. I just thought they'd be on separate teams ahead of the draft. What'd you think watching Jabari, first time we've seen him in a Rocket jersey?
He's raw. The fact that you know there's a huge upside, but with the upside realizes the fact that he's got work to do. And it's kind of like we said when we set up this draft before the picks were made and we knew where everybody was drafting. The most polished, ready to start playing right now in the NBA was Paolo, and he showed it. Last night he showed every reason why Orlando, you can justify taking him number one overall, because if you want someone that's ready to step in right now, you don't know how high his ceiling is, but you know that he has enough polish already to be the best ready-to-play NBA basketball guy, you got him. From Jabari's perspective, he's just the way you would imagine when Green played his first game. Or look at the development of a Josh Christopher, who looked really good last night in terms of developing his talent a little bit. I fully expect Jabari's going to continue to develop. And I know Todd the Show was out there going, there was a lot of signs that Jabari could be average. Look, it's one game for a 19-year-old kid that just got drafted into the NBA and is playing his first game in NBA Summer League. Did he play, did he underwhelming at times? Yes. Will he get better? Absolutely.
I don't want to see Josh Christopher in another Summer League game.
Why?
And I understand that he was good.
Yeah.
But I feel like he was also taking the ball away from
Jabari's
hand.
I think every time he had the ball in his hands, and no matter what Silas told him about make sure your slot shot selection is good,
yeah.
Just don't also select to shoot it every time you touch it.
I thought he played well, but also, like, there's two sides to this. One, I don't think he needs to be playing in the Summer League. I think he proved that yesterday, that he looked like he was the best Rocket on the floor, if we're being completely honest with you. I saw flashes in Jabari. Now, if we're being completely honest, because Jabari's forever going to be compared to Banchero, and he's forever going to be compared to Chet Holmgren,
yep.
Just like Peña's forever going to be compared to Carlos Correa. If we're gauging it off one game and two games in Chet's case, which is a very terrible way to define a career, right? But if we were to have like immediate hot takes about these three rookies, I think Jabari would be third behind him. Chet showed more in his first couple of games, and Banchero showed more in his game yesterday than Jabari did. Now, a couple of the things that frustrated me watching that game yesterday, I don't feel like the Rockets had anything set up for Jabari. Like, Jabari was coming off screens, and that's pretty much it. Like, his teammates weren't looking for him. They didn't create anything for Jabari. They weren't calling plays for Jabari. When Jabari, his few times, and there wasn't a lot of it, but the few times that he was aggressive with the basketball, he was getting to the rack and finishing at the rim. But he took 10 shots in the game because the Rockets did nothing in terms of trying to get Jabari going offensively.
Do you remember the conversation we had before Summer League started, what we'd like to
yep.
see?
Yep.
And one
they
of the things
of
that
it.
I said, too, was I want to see the coaching staff show that instead of actions, they can call plays so they can develop this kid.
Yep.
And they didn't do that. And I think you're right. I think the good point about Christopher is, unlike, what's the kid that was the big, he was a big prospect a couple years ago. He went overseas for a year. He played last night for Orlando. RJ, the point guard.
Talking about Barrett?
No.
I don't know. I have no idea.
He's trying to prove he belongs in the NBA because he was drafted on potential, and he's playing behind two guys that were drafted higher that they have more belief in. When you look at what you saw last night out of Josh Christopher, he just continues to develop. He's developed his shot. He's developed his offense. You don't... The difference between the two is you need to see more of the kid in Orlando to prove he can play in the league, in a summer league, let alone in the league.
Hampton.
Yeah,
RJ Hampton.
You've seen enough to realize Josh Christopher has already developed
exactly.
again, that you don't need to see him again.
You don't need the development.
Now, because the guys that you're looking to see aren't going to get a lot of minutes in the NBA this year, you got to see what they can do right now against like-minded talent so that they can continue to develop.
Look, one of the reasons that Banchero looked better than Jabari did yesterday, Orlando was focusing on giving Banchero the basketball.
From the get-go, he got the ball.
He was getting the ball up top at the top of the three-point line, letting him go to work. He was the focal point of their offense, and Jabari was not. Now, Banchero looked better. I'm not going to deny that. I think Jabari of the three, and if we're having way too early immediate reaction, action with it, I think he has looked third of those big three. But there were some signs yesterday that I liked about Jabari. There were some signs I didn't love. Like, we talked a lot about Jabari defending 1 through 5. There were some times he got switched up on some point guards and a little jab step right, blow by left, where he was like, oh man, he just got beat badly. And he's got to get accustomed to that. And I also want him to be more aggressive on a couple of fronts. One, with the basketball, because I think him, like, if he were to look for his shot more, we would be talking a little bit differently about Jabari. And then two, I want him to be a better rebounder than he was in college, and I don't see him attacking the glass as much as I would like.
Look, I think part of it is I saw a good hip turn on a couple of occasions,
sure,
too, where he did stay with some smaller and quicker guys.
Yeah.
But I think that's all like a process as well, where he learns when I can rely on my teammates to give me help in the middle. I can shade a guy a little bit more to the wing. I can do some things to really kind of improve and correct what I've already started to do. But he's not there yet either. I think where you do need to see him, unlike what Paolo was able to do, because like you said, they focused on him. That's enough. You need Christopher out of the mix, and you need the coaching staff to say, look, just for this kid's psyche, because he's already got so many people coming at him in so many different directions, you got to work on this, you got to do that, you got to improve here. He can feel a little bit better about himself and what he's doing if he gets some buckets, and they didn't give him a whole lot of opportunities to do that.
No, pretty passive, I thought, and I think that the way that the Rockets are drawing up plays didn't do Jabari any favors, but you still see the signs. I mean, you could see him blow by defenders. You saw him get to the rim. You saw his shooting ability a little bit, too. He only took 10 shots, though.
Yep.
And I thought defensively he was pretty good. All right, so there was this story coming out, actually, I think a day or two ago, that when the Rockets caught wind, it was Wendy, Brian Windhorst, who reported this, that when the Rockets caught wind that Orlando was going to go with Paolo Banchero on draft night and not Jabari like we all thought, that the Rockets were trying to trade up to number one out of fear that they were going to end up with Chet Holmgren at number three. What do you think it says about the Rockets trying to move up from number three to number one?
I think that it's kind of along the lines of the discussion that we had when we were having it pre-draft. The fact that the unknowns were one thing with Chet, the medicals were a major concern with Chet, the potential versus potential bust was such a big deal with Chet as opposed to the other two.
Boomer bust, yeah.
Yeah, I think that that's why. And I don't think that they did enough homework because they just assumed Chet was going to be gone by the time they picked.
Do you think the bust factor has been lessened with Chet after only just two summer league games?
After the first game, yes. After the second game,
too.
No.
Yeah, he's got bullied by Kenny Lofton Jr.
Kenny Lofton Jr., though, Kenny Lofton Jr.'s got a whole lot of handles. Oof. In more ways than one. He also showed that he moved him wherever he wanted to and did whatever he wanted to do against him. And that's going to be what every NBA team does if they see him trying to guard them. He realizes he's going to block some shots. He can get some rebounds because of his reach. But if he's going to be expected to guard fives and fours and even some more physical threes, he's going to get in foul trouble and he's going to have his hands full.
Don't disagree, but I think he's better suited defending fives and fours and threes.
Completely.
Yeah, because he can't defend the perimeter. But very interesting that the Rockets thought, okay, well, Orlando's taking Banchero one. We better get out of three because we do not want Chet.
I was going to say, because I was going to ask you, it's all based on interpretation how you read the quote, but I didn't read that as I don't want Jabari either. I only want Paolo.
Yep.
I read that as I just want to stay clear of Chet.
They said the Rockets wouldn't have made an offer if they were certain Smith would slide to them, sources said, but they were concerned about having to make a decision on Holmgren without time to digest his medical information. So it wasn't even really homework on Chet's basketball ability. It was more about the medical that you were talking about.
I had talked to the guys, too. It was a real concern, the medicals on Chet. And as the word started to kind of filter down the channels in the NBA, more and more teams were throwing up a red flag going, I got to see the medicals.
Yeah.
Our doctors have to have time to digest the medicals. And we need a lot more information before we take a flyer. Otherwise, Ivy gets into the equation simply because of an insurance policy. You don't want to take a chance on a guy that might not play well for you.
Was it Chet that left the Orlando workout early? I know he left the workout early. I think it was Orlando. And then I think the fact that he wasn't sharing his medicals, I think he was trying to force his hand to Oklahoma City, if I'm being completely honest. Because Oklahoma City didn't even budge off of Chet.
That was the one that shocked me.
After Banchero won.
Very Sam Presti, but once he focused in on the guy he wanted and he knew he was going to be there regardless, he wasn't going to waver off of that like a lot of GMs would.
I think OKC loved Chet and Chet loved OKC for whatever reason. 713-780-3776. All right, for 2022 to be a success for the Texans, what must happen? Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. But first, it's a Friday. It's been a long week. I'm going to have some Gentle Ben vodka. I might have some Gentle Ben gin. Tonight feels like a gentleman bourbon night for me, though. They're all part of the rotation. Bourbon, I think, is going to be part of the Friday rotation tonight. I might go one of each. Who knows? A local Texas brand, Gentleman Spirits, does it all, and they do it better than anybody else. Gentleman, a line of ultra-premium Texas spirits. They use their state-of-the-art, innovative, Percedo craft technology. It's better in purity, it's better in aroma, and it's better in taste than your favorite brand of vodka, gin, or bourbon. They are unrivaled. Look, I know you have your favorite brand. You like it at the end of the night. You like it at the end of a Friday night, the end of the week. Trust me now, though, and thank me later. Take the challenge I did. Try a sip of Gentleman and compare it to your brand. You're going to taste the huge difference that I did when Ricky Ford, owner of Gentleman Spirits, A&M Class of 85, had me out to his tasting room in Alvin to see what I thought. And ever since then, I've been a Gentleman man. You can find Gentleman Vodka and Gin at Total Wine and Specs. Also online, gentlebin.com. Also, if you want to get some of that bourbon, you got to clamor in for that bourbon like I do tonight, head to that tasting room in Alvin. It's fantastic. 94-proof bourbon. It was the winner of the double platinum at the Ascot Awards this year, and it's exclusive to that tasting room in Alvin. Speaking of that tasting room in Alvin, us and the Wheelhouse will be out there on July 14th. Make sure you circle the calendar. Head on out there next week. We'll be out at the tasting room in Alvin. We want you to be there as well. Gentleman, the union of tradition and invention.
Two. Live from Cypress Trail Hideout for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, this is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, 2022. For its success, the Texans have to do what?
Suck.
Okay, you can't pick that. You can't pick embrace the suck.
Oh.
You got to give me. Now, you
I can
say,
have.
You can say not win games.
Yeah, I still want them to – I've told you this. I want them to lose games but look good doing it. I want them to continue to be able to put themselves in the best position from a draft perspective but show the development of Davis Mills, show the development of the young players they've already drafted, show the development of a roster that had no development a year ago and now has the potential to really improve on a fairly rapid pace. So that's what I would say.
Okay, let me say this. Davis Mills, he plays really well, so you get that answer.
Yeah.
But they win six or seven games. So now they've what was more important and what was more successful is that you learned that Davis Mills can be the quarterback going forward with the Houston Texans, but that means they win more games.
Yeah, if it means that – and I don't think there's any scenario where you learn enough about Davis Mills that you say – any realistic scenario – that you learn enough about him that you say, you know what, I don't need to take another quarterback. And so because of that, I think that it's unrealistic to think that way. Is it possible? Sure.
So you rather have the losses then?
I would rather have the losses for one more year that I've stated. I would love to know that Davis Mills can play in the NFL for sure, validate all of that, but also realize that if I get the best pick and have my pick of whoever's out there quarterback-wise, if I want another add another quarterback to the mix, whether I keep that other quarterback or I let them compete or whoever loses out I use as trade bait to somebody else, I know that I have at least one guy that can play and one guy that has been evaluated to play at a high level when he gets to the NFL. I'm not passing on that, so therefore, yes, that's my answer.
See, for me, and we'll take your input on this too, Hive, 713-780-ESPN, or HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. To me, for 2022 to be a success, you need to have development from your young players. You need Derek Stingley to look like he's going to be good. Doesn't have to be good in year one, but he needs to look like he's going to be good. Same thing with Jalen Petrie. Same thing with Christian Harris. Same thing with Kenyon Green. Same thing with Mechie. Like, I want all of the young players to show like they're going to be good. And I would put more importance on that than losing more games. So, like, if I got development from the young players, but it meant I go 6-11 instead of 4-13, I would take that trade-off. Would you take that trade-off?
I just think that's too many wins. We had a guy that, you know, basically was texting us.
But if it meant the young players are hitting.
Look, that's a good thing, but I think you still have too many holes. You need too many players. This was just a handful of a smattering of players that make up just a portion of a roster where you need a whole lot more. So, therefore, I don't think it's worth the six games. You're not a playoff team and giving up those draft spots. Just bear with me for one more year, and I will be on board with it, but I just don't think so.
But if that means the development of the young players is the reason you're losing those games, like if it means that Derek Stingley Jr., instead of looking like he can be on a scale of a 1 to 10 cornerback at 10, it means that he's a 7. Jalen Petrie's a 5. John, like, it looks like you missed on all of these picks, and that's the reason you get to 3 or 4 wins, as opposed to, man, those picks look really good. but at the expense of two more wins, where you're winning six games instead of three or four.
See, and I see what you're saying. Look, I the most important thing is to develop the guys you already took and to show that they can play. So it's a tough, fine line to say, well, one's going to affect the other, but will it be the end-all, be-all, bottom line for the other? I don't think so. I think that you're going to be able to see if Petrie can play regardless if they win or lose. I think Harris is a guy that's going to show you exactly what he's made of and his capabilities,
sure,
whether you know they stop guys on third down or not. And the same thing with Stingley. You can see right away if you can leave him out there or if he needs help and if he can stay healthy or not, regardless of what. So,
but which of the two is more important, losing 13 games or seeing the development of the young players?
Because the quarterback's the most important position. That's the one that we didn't talk about. That's the one why winning and losing is so important, and losing is so important this next season, because Davis Mills is the guy for this year. But in order to figure out if Davis Mills is the guy for the foreseeable future, then I got to see a whole lot more Davis Mills, and I don't know that I'll see enough.
See, we've always talked about this question in the reverse, right? Like, I don't want the Texans to win seven games with a bunch of fighting Rex Burkheads. Like, I'd rather the Texans go 4-13 with all the rookies than 7-10 with a bunch of fighting Rex Burkheads. Like, this is flipping that conversation.
Right.
So, like, would you go 7-10 with the development of young players, they all look good, at the expense of, like, going 4-13 with a bunch of fighting Rex Burkheads? Like, give me the young players before all else. Like, if you go 7-10 with all the young players, great. If you go 2-15 with all the young players, even better. But to me, the most important thing, and this is why I always say that Lovie Smith, he's not coaching for wins on Sunday. He's coaching to develop the young players on this team. So for me, it's develop the young players as the most important thing, and that's what would be a success, in my opinion, for the Texans in 2022. You want them to lose. Embrace the suck still.
I do. I said it's a two-year process, and it's nothing personal.
Even at the expense of the young players. I find that fascinating.
Well, I want them to develop, and I think they still can. I just think that it doesn't have to affect the wins and losses. It's like I said with the Rockets. You can play great for 3.5 quarters. Just find a way to lose at the end so it doesn't screw up your draft capital the following year.
3209 text in, and you can weigh in on this, Hive. What has to happen for the 2022 season to be a success for the Texans? 713-780-3776. 3209, for success, the Texans need to take every snap this season. I don't care if he sucks, as long as he is healthy. I don't care how bad or good. Who's he talking about?
Davis Mills.
He's got to be talking about Davis Mills, right? Yeah, I think he, that's an interesting way to look at it, too, like the Davis Mills part of it. Like, would it be successful? Obviously, it's successful if Davis Mills is good. If 2022, and eliminate the win total here. If Davis Mills is good, and Davis Mills looks like he can be the quarterback for 2023 and into the future, that would be a success. But how about the other way? What if you learn that Davis Mills is bad and that you have to move on from Davis Mills? Would that still be considered a success?
No, well.
See, I think it would
be. Yeah, it would. Because then, you know what? Then there's no more guessing, right? And second guessing. There's no more trying to play, weigh out a decision, and figure out which is more beneficial, getting a second quarterback or taking a chance that he continues to develop and turns into what you need him to be. It's definitive. You know flat out he embraced the suck. Or you know flat out he could play in this league.
Yeah.
And I could live with that.
See, to me, the worst-case scenario, Davis Mills after 2022.
Rides the fence.
Yeah, you're in purgatory,
yeah.
Like you are right now. Like, you need to have a definitive answer. I would say failure from Davis Mills would be successful for the Texans because it gives you your answer.
That.
The worst place you can be is not having an answer, to be left on red, right,
yep.
And have no idea with what you're going to do. 3780, honestly, I think you guys are underselling the Texans, and I'm not a big fan if Davis Mills progresses. I think the addition by subtraction of David Culley is good for at least two games. So six wins for the Texans. Look, I have six wins in my range. It's the top end of my range. I'm not sure that Lovie Smith over David Culley is worth two games, though.
No.
Do the 2021 Houston Texans win six games if Lovie Smith is the head coach and not David Culley? No, I don't think so.
Well, I don't think either guy, based on what he's got to work with, and no matter how much magic Lovie could possibly try and pull on defense, I just don't think it's worth six games. And I'm glad it's not, but I'm being realistic. It's not that I'm rooting against them. I just want what's right for this franchise, for the overall long-term sustainable success.
Yeah.
And that would not be catching lightning in a bottle and winning 6-8 games.
See, I think that's where we're on the same page, is we want the sustainable success.
Yeah.
And we just look at it from two different points, where you look at it, okay, it's having the best draft pick you could have, And for me, it's developing the young talent, but at the same point, it's for the sustainable success of the organization. 083 kind of mentions what we were just talking about. Say the Texans go 4-13, but Mills plays like a competent quarterback. Does he stay, or do they need to draft the next one?
Both.
Like, if competence is mediocre, you're in the worst place you can be.
Are you, though? Because he does what I wanted him to do. He doesn't win too many games. But to the texter's point, he shows he can play, right? But you still don't know what level. That doesn't keep you from drafting another quarterback,
yeah.
But you know he can play in the league, and you know you have depth at the quarterback position, which you haven't had in God knows how long, and you did have
I don't think you need depth at the quarterback position, though. But you have one, you don't need two.
But at the same time, you don't have to keep two.
No, I agree with that.
So that way you can use that to get you even more picks or more young players that can make you quit better even quicker and accelerate. The worst thing,
Patriots model.
Right, because the worst thing you can do is like I said, have that. Maybe some teams have injuries too, and you catch everything to fall your way. Suddenly, you're in the mix for that last playoff spot. But yet, what it did for you was only good for this one season. When the other teams get healthy, the other teams' players come back, and everything falls back in place for the rest of the league. Now, where are you? You don't have high picks, but what you're going to put a gold star on that season because you did better than people thought. But can you then translate that into and equate that to I'm better, quicker in the long haul? And I don't think you can.
Yeah. Mills being competent, I don't – like, you almost have to define the competency for
right.
me, right? Like, is it – okay,
that's
I'm willing to –
That's a scary scenario.
Yeah, the last place I want to be is purgatory with Davis Mills another year from now. If Davis Mills turns out to be a good NFL QB, do you think the Texans will go forward with Mills or still draft a quarterback next year? If he's a good NFL quarterback, you continue with Davis Mills. Like, if you think he can win playoff games, you're going forward with Davis Mills. You're not going to draft a quarterback in the first round if you think you can win playoff games with Davis Mills.
No, I agree with you. Look, I think that there's a lot of different ways this all plays out. The best case scenario for the Texans is, like I said, you see a guy that's capable of controlling a huddle, sustaining drives, putting points on the board, and that he can play. I don't think you're going to see enough of him no matter what to say that this is a guy that can be top 10, top 15 in the league as a quarterback in the NFL, because he doesn't have enough around him that has been consistently there to prove they belong in the NFL too. But there's nothing wrong with going ahead and drafting another quarterback because you want options. You want competition. And the Patriots way has shown you, if nothing else, you can turn around and parlay the other quarterback into more beneficial things for your franchise to speed up the process, regardless of whether he's the guy or the other guy ends up being the guy.
See, I think if he's competent, that's when you go best available. Like, if he's bad, then you need quarterback. But if he's competent, you take whoever's there.
Right.
Like, if you have the number one pick and Davis Mills is confident, and you feel like Willie Anderson's better than Bryce Young on your big board, you take Willie Anderson. But if you feel Bryce Young's the better of the two, then you take Bryce Young.
Yeah.
I think he puts you in a position where you're taking best available.
And unlike a year ago,
QB.
When every quarterback was available, was not something that an NFL team was willing to use a high draft pick on and just didn't believe in, this year you're going to have 3 to 5 guys that are going to be evaluated
yep.
as being true NFL franchise-type quarterbacks that you could possibly use and you need regardless of what Davis Mills plays like.
See, you could take Willie Anderson at 1, Brown stink, and you still get a franchise quarterback at like an 8.
That's true, too.
You start looking at dream scenarios. 713-780-ESPN. All right, when we come back, one of the Wheelhouse men's going to join us. We're out here live, Cypress Trail Hideout, home of Papa Charlie's Barbecue. It's happy hour right now until 6. They got great drinks, great food. Swing on by, say hello to them. But we had some barbecue conversation a little bit earlier, and we got to get the thoughts of the Wheelhouse men about it. It's Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
On ESPN 97.5 or listen wherever you get your podcasts. This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Cypress Trail Hideout. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Jake Asman joining us. We're at Cypress Trail Hideout, home of Papa Charlie's Barbecue. A tremendous time here. Food was fantastic. Beer was cold, as always. Wall-to-wall TVs. Live music here tonight. Come hang out with the Wheelhouse. They also have all-stop beer, which I thought was great for BK.
Hi-oh, BK.
Great for BK. I've never seen it.
Man of the people. He walks in, he knows nobody, and suddenly he just gets right in the middle of an entire table full of people in a conversation. That is true BK. Great,
no great, impurities, great no regrets. All right? That's what you're going to expect when you have
Can
an
I ask you a question?
Beer. Yes.
But unlike BK, if BK rolls into a bar, by the end of the night, does he have no regrets?
So BK is a high-volume shooter.
So he's going to shoot. You know, he's a lot like Josh Christopher last night. Like, we all wanted to watch Jabari, but, you know, Josh kind of stole the show. He took a lot of shots. That's kind of like BK.
So therefore, no regrets.
It's also built in that you're going to have regrets.
There could be some regrets, but if you're drinking Allstat, there's no regrets.
Right.
It's not about the nose blanks. It's about the yeses.
Right. But in terms of at the end of the night, you better have one good solidified yes, because otherwise you're going to be driving home thinking about the shot you took that you probably shouldn't have, because you might have taken some shots after that.
Great shooters don't regret
the
shots they take.
What did Wayne Gretzky say? You miss half the shots that never get there or something like that?
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Michael Scott actually said that. I just want to throw that out there.
He said it, not Wayne Gretzky.
Yes.
Jordan always gets credit for it. Michael Jordan on the posters and stuff, they give the credit to Jordan.
Well, Republicans buy sneakers, too. That's the Jordan one.
Yes.
Which, you know, by the way, Jordan has said he has never actually said that.
That's not true. That's not true. In The Last Dance, they say that he did.
There's a story to that, though. So this was like 2015, 2016. I was at a business conference at the University of Michigan, and the Jordan brand president is a Michigan alum. And she told the story how, Michael never said that. And then I'm watching The Last Dance, and he admits to saying it. I'm like, well, that's a lie.
Yeah.
That's not true.
I can't remember in The Last Dance, like, he either admitted to saying it or, like, they have him on video saying it.
They had the politician and everything. His mom was part of the discussion, too.
Yeah.
Because they said part of the thing he never – and, look, he's notorious for this, but that's one of the pressures that Tiger felt was. They said, don't be Michael, and LeBron as well, because Michael was the guy that middle-roaded and high-roaded every single thing if it meant he could alter anything in any way.
Tiger does that too.
To some degree.
He did very much early.
Yeah. But Michael was the king of it, because that's the ultimate quote that's always with Michael on. Some people said on the team buses and otherwise, it was all about who was buying the shoes.
Yeah. I mean, it was about the bottom line, not which side
of the
party you are. LeBron's the exact opposite way. We were talking about barbecue because we're here at Cypress Trail Hideout, home of Papa Charlie's Barbecue, where the food is fantastic. We were talking during the break to Brendan, who always has fantastic food tips.
Oh, he's the biggest Little Caesars fan I know.
Yeah, he is. He does like a Little Caesars because he's from Detroit. He loves Detroit pizza, and there's nothing like Little Caesars because that is Detroit pizza. He said that sausage was his second favorite barbecue meat. Where do you think sausage ranks as your best barbecue meats that are out there?
It would not be in my top three, for sure. It would be lower on the list. I like sausage, but I'm thinking brisket. I'm thinking pork. I'm thinking, you know, hell, chicken would be before
sausage. How much do you like sausage, though, Jake? And would you like sausage with some Red Bush and Black Bush?
I would prefer it with the Bushmills Black Bush. It usually tastes a lot better.
Sausage and Black Bush for you.
But I'll take any bush from Bushmills. It's all good. The Red Bush, the Black Bush, I recommend all of it.
So it's all in the bush, and you like the sausage. BK, take notes.
I'm not sure what any of that meant.
Well, you weren't supposed to.
All right. Sauce is not in my top two. I would have a hard time putting sausage in my top five.
I agree. And look, I'm from Wisconsin, so that's saying something. But I definitely would have a hard time putting the sausage in the top five.
See, I'm going brisket in my top five.
Yep.
I said burnt ends earlier, and people were trying to get me on a technicality. So, burnt ends or brisket. It's cooked different. That's a difference.
It is.
That's different to me. I'm going burnt ends ahead of sausage. I'm going the pork rib and the beef rib. I don't feel like you can categorize the pork rib and the beef rib all as one rib. That's two very different cuts of meat. Now, I'm with you. I think I go chicken ahead of the sausage, too. So that leaves sausage outside of the barbecue meat top five.
And if you do turkey like they do here, which is like the actual barbecued turkey, it climbs the list in a hurry for me, too. So I'm going to put that above the sausage.
Where are you with ketchup? You know, Jeremy, I saw you were appalled Joel used ketchup on his baked potato.
I've never seen that in my life.
Where are you on ketchup? Because you already know that I don't hide the fact that I love it. Everybody that listens to this station knows the levels that I love ketchup.
Who loves ketchup more, you or Patrick Mahomes? He's a huge ketchup guy.
If I had Pat Mahomes' money to invest in the ketchup, I probably would, but he's also sponsored by it, Heinz. But I think I'm on parallel, if not higher up, on my love of ketchup.
This is where I stand with Blanker's love of ketchup. I admire that he owns up to it. Like,
yeah.
I think it's kind of weird that he's putting it on his chopped beef baked potato. That's kind of odd to me. But that
there
he owns
no
it.
There was no beef on that baked potato.
Oh, turkey.
No, it was just I supplemented some, but it was grilled onions.
It wasn't a loaded tater?
No.
Well, I thought it was a loaded tater.
No,
that doesn't change my opinion at all.
Okay. Well, if you put ketchup on French fries, what's wrong with putting it on a baked potato?
Well, they're not fried.
It's still potato.
Sure, but it's a different
and it's cooked
type of potato.
Just like if you get soggy fries, you put ketchup on them more because it kind of supplements the fact that they're not cooked enough.
Do you put them on them more?
Yeah, if they're not cooked enough, yeah. Shocker for me, right?
Yeah. Do you put ketchup on your baked potato? 713-780-3776.
I do.
Where do you stand? Did you say where you stand on the ketchup on baked potato debate?
I'm willing to try it.
The great debate?
I won't lie. Joel had a very convincing argument there. He's like, it's a potato. You put ketchup with your french fries. That's a potato.
It was argued well.
I'll give it a whirl. I'm not anti anything until I try it.
So what was your number one? Did you say your number one barbecue meat?
I would go probably brisket.
Brisket. Brisket's my number one, too. And the brisket here was fantastic.
Unbelievable.
I had the brisket quesadillas here, and they were phenomenal. Some of the best quesadillas I've ever had.
I went two-meat combo, brisket and the pork rib, because I love my red meat. Also, the brisket was a little bit with the fats on it instead of the lean, which, to me, a good brisket, you got to keep a little bit of fat on it. You got to keep some fat on it. And here at the home of Papa Charlie's Barbecue, Cypress Trail Hideout, fantastic brisket. That's a tongue twister.
I think almost underrated as the sleeper is the burnt-ins.
Burnt-ins
is fantastic. Just absolutely phenomenal. Now, they do it, and Pat said that wasn't burnt-ins. That was, I want to say, some pork, well-done pork belly or something like that, but it was mixed in with jalapenos, and the presentation itself was great.
Here's where I kind of hesitate. I'm going to offend you here for a second, Jake, and I apologize in advance. I don't know if I value a whole lot of New Yorkers' opinion of barbecue.
Wow.
Am I wrong there? Is that mean of me?
I lived here four
years. Is that
years.
A tad rude?
I've been in Houston for 4 years. I mean, all right. Hey, look, if you don't want to value my opinion, that's fine.
But I'm curious where you think of your opinion of barbecue. Because
that confused me.
He values his opinion of barbecue better than anybody else.
Do you trust your opinion of barbecue more than, like, a Texan's opinion of barbecue?
No, I mean, I would consult with a Texan.
That's what I'm saying.
But I think I could tell you if a barbecue place is good or not.
Texas, Kansas City, or Memphis?
Well, I've never had the other two, so I'm gonna be a homer here and say Texas
believes in the sauce.
They use like a vinegar-based sauce.
Good barbecue doesn't need sauce. It's phenomenal just the way it is.
Look, I've had barbecue in Nashville. That was pretty good. It was not as good as Houston.
Nashville is the one city that I haven't been to that I really want to go to. Texas barbecue to me is the best, and I am a homer there, rightfully so. I put Memphis barbecue ahead of Kansas City barbecue. Memphis does pork really well. Memphis does pork fantastic. Absolutely very good. Stoots is shaking his head. No, I'm not sure why.
I think Kansas City is overrated with all their barbecue.
I do too, actually. Now, I'm not kicking it out of bed.
No, but at the same time, if you're going to rank them.
It's third to me.
Yeah.
So you would make love to Kansas City barbecue? Is that what you just said?
No, I almost called you Cody. No, Jake, I would not do that. But Kansas City barbecue is a distant third if I'm looking at the top three of barbecues in this very fine country. What do you think? The guy at the bar who's had a little bit too much to
drink. He also wants a headset. That's not an option.
What do you think? You think the barbecue? Real cuss word about barbecue. You can't say that on the headset.
Why you don't get a headset.
You can't say that on the headset.
They'll just give these jobs out to chimps.
Texas, Kansas City, or Memphis. No doubt about it. We agree. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Texas is by far the number one. What's coming up on the wheelhouse, my man?
We actually have a great show. We'll talk plenty about the barbecue scene.
We actually have a great show.
Yeah, normally I come on and I say, oh, we got a great show, but I don't always mean that. I mean,
you can't have to convince anybody.
You can't bat 1,000 when you're on the air for 20 hours a week. Not every show is going to be the best. Today's show, though, I think might be one of the best wheelhouses of all time. Great topics. Astros. Summer League for the Rockets. Yep. Texans topics. And get this, 4 o'clock, a back-to-back guest combo. Marcus Spears and Kendrick Perkins. They're coming to Houston next Wednesday to do a live taping of their podcast at the Rustic downtown. So we've been giving out tickets on the air for it. We have both them on. Might do a little crossover in the 4 o'clock hour. So we'll talk NFL, NBA with Swagoo and Perk.
That's a good get right there.
Sounds very good. What did you think of who said it today?
Look, Cody talked a big game. He won the first time. But you made a good point. Unless you defend the belt, have you really done? So it was a big step back for Cody, but I'm still going to back my guy. I think if he gets another opportunity, he's going to bounce back.
See, Stoots was talking a big game. You know, he talked the talk, but he didn't walk the walk. That's why Blankers and I, when we beat him badly 4-0, let me mention the score again, we acted like we've been there before.
That's right.
Because we know that the real definition of a champion is when you defend the strap. And next Friday, I don't even know who the contestant's going to be. I have no idea. But we're champions, and we take on all comers. So whoever it is,
There was an officer out front in case Cody didn't get the license plate number of the bus that just ran him over. But it's fine.
Yeah, that was a tough one. But you know what? You got to learn from the losses.
Open challenge to any contender for the Who Said It Championship next Friday. All right, that does it for us. Thanks to Brian doing all the hard work. Our on-site engineer, Brendan, did some of the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Brandon. We'll talk to you on Monday, Houston. The Wheelhouse is next, live from Cypress Trail Hideout, home of Papa Charlie's Barbecue, on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.